And it was a sort of town that when I was a little kid, it was, orange groves and avocado groves. And then one day it wasn't anymore, it changed that quickly. So that's where I'm from, but my dad was from Indiana, from South Bend, Indiana.
Okay.
And he rode the rails out to California in the Great Depression. And my mother's family was Californian back to the, 1870s, 1860s.
Mm, okay.
So in some ways, I'm part Midwesterner, part Californian, because my dad is very, very South Bend, Indiana.
Did you have any sense of being in California in the 1960s and everything, the whole country was changing, the culture was changing?
Yes and no, because where I grew up in Downey is in the southeast side of Los Angeles County, and that was the working class area. It's a long way from Hollywood, let me put it that way.
Okay.
And so things that were happening in the Sunset Strip, that might as well have been happening in London. It wasn't until 1970, somewhere around in there, that my older brother Phil and I, we later had a band called The Blasters, but we started sneaking into bars and nightclubs first in our neighborhood, and then we'd hitch ride, bum rides, whatever, to get up into other parts of L.A. to go see old blues singers, T-Bo Walker, Big Joe Turner, Lightnin' Hopkins, everybody. And so that kind of was a wonderful thing about growing up when I did. Was there were still neighborhood bars where you could see people like that, where they were just playing gigs, that it wasn't like concerts. It was just a gig, Two sets, three sets of T-Bone Walker with some local guys.
They call it Stormy Monday, but twos is just as bad.
Where did you get your exposure to the blues that made you want to go in these places? Or was it just to get out of the house and that's what you
were doing? Well, it was a combination of a lot of things. The main thing being we had some older cousins that were pretty musically hip. My cousin Donna was a wild girl. She was like an R&B chick, and she loved, Ray Charles and Big Joe Turner, and she loved doo-wop, and she loved anything with the beat. And so she would give us her old records when she'd wore them out. At a fairly young age, we had a pretty good idea of who a lot of these acts were. And then I had a cousin, Mike, who was a self-proclaimed folkie and played guitar and banjo and all that. And he was into Sonny Terry, Brownie McGee, people like that. And so from a fairly young age, it was like that music was part of our experience. So then we started collecting old 78s. Pretty young, and then we figured out from collecting old 78s and this, that, and the other that a lot of these guys and gals were still alive. And not only were they still alive, some of them were playing fairly nearby in bars.
Mm.
I don't know why, but we never really got hassled. we were little kids, and we'd go into these bars, and I think the novelty of it, of these little kids sneaking into bars to sit at the feet of whoever, I think it struck people as cute, so we never got bothered. I don't have kids, and if I had kids, I don't know if I would let them go out of the house and sneak into bars. But
well, it was sort of a different time back then, too, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
You had an overshoe, dungaree, red jacket, short. If you bleed, mom, boogie, woogie, boogie, woogie, boogie, woogie, country girl.
Watching some of these legendary now blues guys in some of these little bars near your home, was there any one or two that really struck you as, I really like this guy, or there's something about this guy?
Countless, but some of the older performers got to be close friends. One of our dear friends was Eddie Cleanhead Vincent. They call me Mr. Cleanhead.
Yeah.
T-Bone, my brother, played with T-Bone at a real young age. A really close friend was a guy named Marcus Johnson. And Marcus was a bass player and a sax player, and he played bass on a lot of the Jimmy Reed records, and he played horn on, for example, there's that Muddy Waters album, Muddy Waters with horns, and that's Marcus on there. Yeah. Lee Allen was our dearest friend who played the sax solos on all the great Little Richard and Fats Domino and, Smiley Lewis records and all that stuff out of New Orleans in the 50s. He was our mentor. He and our other closest friend was Big Joe Turner, the boss of the blues, These guys really took us under their wing, and Joe and Lee Allen became just lifelong friends till the day they died. Lee Allen was later a member of with my brother Phil and I in the Blasters, and Big Joe was just, he was our spiritual advisor. He was our guru. He was our everything.
Well, me, my boogie woogie country. Hang around, dig my baby. cause she really goes to town, my boogie woogie boogie woogie boogie woogie country girl.
What's one thing you learned from Big Joe?
Survival techniques. You can learn musical things, which are important, but if you're going to be a professional musician, the most important thing is to learn is how to survive. And Big Joe Turner, if anything, was a survivor. He started out making records in the late 30s with Pete Johnson, you know, coming out of Kansas City. So in the late 30s and early 40s, mid-40s, he was part of the jazz blues world. Then in the late 40s, he was part of the jump blues world. Then in the 50s, he was part of the rhythm and blues and then into the rock and roll world. And then, you know, and on, he knew how to survive. The overriding thing is you learn that you really play this type of music for love. You're not going to get financially reimbursed to what you would like it. You know, you're not going to get paid what maybe you want to get paid. So the long and short of it is you do it for love. When I was a kid, I would see Big Joe Turner playing in a concert setting with, say, the Johnny Otis Orchestra backing him up, you know, and they'd be playing to like 400 people somewhere. A week later, you'd see him in a bar. You'd see him at a club called like the York Club on Florence Avenue in L.A., and there'd be maybe 30 people. Hmm. You know, I was a little kid, and I was just trying to figure everything out. I was like, so how do you do that? How do you go from, you know, 300-400 people yelling, screaming, going insane to 30 people sitting there drinking mixed drinks, bored? And he just said, well, sometimes there's people and sometimes there ain't, you know. And that's those little obvious statements, you know, are the things that help you survive.
A lot of people who know who you are might have got their first exposure to Dave Alvin with the band The Blasters, which
is
a great roots rock, rockabilly type of band. It's just a whole lot of fun. You and your brother Phil and a couple of other guys put this together?
Me and my brother Phil, Johnny Baz on bass, Bill Bateman on drums, Gene Taylor on piano when he was alive, Lee Allen on tenor sax, and yeah. We were basically just an R&B band that played songs really fast.
Yeah. Well, you're a whole lot of fun with what you were doing. How did the band get going, and when did the band get underway?
Well, we formed in 1979 around this time of year, 1979. We were all working day jobs, and we decided for one reason or another, let's start a band and just give it one last shot, you know, because everybody had had bands growing up. The twist on this one, on the Blasters, was it was the first time ever that my brother Phil and I played together, because he was my older brother and he was always the good musician. You know what I mean? He was the great singer, he was the good musician, and I was the little brother, and we finally decided to play music together, and there was a little bit of magic there.
The Blasters! Blow your horns, boys, blow them hot loud. We're gonna play this evening till we draw a crowd. I'm gonna wake up my baby and tell her how I feel inside. Gonna wake up my baby and tell her how I feel inside. 5 minutes in, I'm ready for my morning ride. She's a cute little kitty, right from the city, ready for her morning ride. Talk to me, baby, talk to me side to side. 5 minutes in, I'm ready for my morning ride. Hey, do you wanna jump, children?
Yeah.
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 Now we got them jumping, children.
Let's jump, jump, jump. Can't see you no more when that little girl comes around.
children?
Yeah.
Do you want to jump children?
Yeah.
Do you want to jump children?
Yeah.
Do you want to jump children?
Yeah.
Now we got to jump children. Let's
jump, 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 jump.
Feeling good today.
Da, 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 da.
Well, oh well, I'm feeling fine today.
Da, 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 da.
Well, I'm a baby time coming home each day. Silver away. My baby's a jockey, she teaches me how to ride. She said twice in the middle, then daddy from side to side. Say, Billy Moore, thanks a million, you guys.